and this is the way we encourage one another. Let me read verse 7. The Apostle Paul is saying, you come short, second to none, in no gift. Again, he was saying to the church of Corinth, you come short in no gift. You have it all. You're second to none. Eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul said that they come short in no gift. And then he says, you eagerly wait for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will confirm you. There is a confirming thing that can take place when we see the operation of the gift of the Spirit. When we are thinking about doing something, for instance, the gift of prophecy can encourage us, can usually confirm something that God has already put in our heart. But these things should be operating in our church on an ongoing basis. And the best place to practice it in the church, so that one day we may be in a supermarket somewhere and suddenly God will show us someone in a supermarket and God will show us someone and say, they've just lost a loved one and they're really grieving. And I need you to go over there and tell them that they need to know that God loves them, cares about them, and wants to help you through this time of grieving. You know, just a message like that from God, from a complete stranger sometime, would be overwhelming, because they realize God cares about me. God knows about my situation. That's a powerful thing. That can change lives to hear a word from the Lord that way. Prophecy is a gift that's needed to encourage people in the church. There's people out in the world all week being bombarded by every demonic foe that is sent to harass them throughout the week. And sometimes they just need an encouraging word from the Lord. As a church body, we need to be praying and saying, God, give me a word for someone so that I might encourage somebody today. And really pray into that and expect God to use you to speak to someone during the service. It may be before service or after service or some time where you can go to them and speak to them and encourage them. Just say what God has put in your heart toward them. That can be tremendously encouraging. You see, we can't look at just the words that's being said when we give a prophetic word over somebody, because there is an anointing, a spiritual force that comes from heaven that's released when God's words are spoken through a yielded vessel. As we speak those words to others, it can leave a powerful impact. I want to talk just a little bit about the gift of prophecy for a moment here, because that is a wonderful gift of being in the church, because it's there specifically, as 1 Corinthians 14 tells us, that we bring encouragement to one another when we prophesy. But sometimes we wait too long to get a word from God, and we often have to start out in the natural, if you will, before we really get to where God wants to go concerning a particular word for somebody. Just recently, I was in a meeting and there were other ministers there, and there was one minister that I felt led to go over and pray because it seemed like he had a cold, and that's really all I thought about. And at that time, I felt the Lord wanted me to go over to pray for him. And so I began to pray for him. And as I began to pray for him, I began to prophesy over him. And I began to say some things that I really didn't know anything about his situation. And I began to say some things that were very important to him. And so I just prayed and prophesied over him for a while. He told me after, he said, this is really something, because I know you didn't know anything about this. And then he told me a story about what was happening in his life right then, that he needed encouragement. And he said, man, that sure encouraged me. That sure gave me great encouragement. But I had to start, that wasn't on my mind when I went to pray for him at all. But I did want to pray for him. And you and I, again, think about dying to ourselves. Because as long as we are worried about what we're going to look like, our eyes are not on Jesus, they're on ourselves. But if we will step out and begin to show compassion, begin to pray for someone in the natural, you might say, well, Pastor, I don't know what to pray. We can simply say, God bless her. Lord, thank you for blessing my sister. Thank you for blessing my brother. Thank you for your grace upon my brother or sister. When you start out like that, sometimes it'll take you down a road you never even knew was there. And you'll begin to prophesy and speak powerful words over their lives that'll change them. See, the gift of prophecy comes from heaven, but it needs an earthly channel to work through. And if you and I are not going to be that earthly channel, then the word won't come forth. But we have to be willing to lay down our own pride and walk in humility. Because God will put us in circumstances to get us to constantly deal with that wretched sin of pride in our lives. And I wish I could deal with it. We could deal with it one time and never have to deal with it again. But it is a daily issue. Pride will try to come up and it'll try to take hold. In order for me to teach you some things that I've learned in the function of some gifts and prophecy and so forth, I have to tell you some of the things that happen in my life and some of the way the prophetic word deals with me. When the gifts of the Spirit function, you might see it happen sometime. You might see it happen through a minister, or you might see it happen through someone else. And when you see that, we have a tendency to think, well, that's the way it's going to happen through me. We should only look at the operation of the gift of the Spirit in someone else to give us an example of how it could work, not the way it's going to work. It's a broad example of the way, because there are different levels of prophecy, there's different levels of anointing where it is released to others. There's sometimes, and there's different times that has happened to me in different ways. There's sometimes when I'm praying for somebody, I can just begin prophesying over them about things that they would know that I wouldn't necessarily be aware of to pray into. And I know some of you have experienced that as well. Loretta, I've seen you do it. And that's one way to prophesy. There's another time that sometimes when I am ministering here and the prophetic word comes out in ministry and it seems like the Lord wants to push farther what I'm able to say in the natural, what will usually happen with me when I'm ministering and the prophetic word comes is that I can't speak in English anymore. It seems like I open my mouth and tongues come out. When you are learning in this process, sometimes you don't know what to do with it. Because you really don't know where you're going. But when I begin speaking in tongues and then the interpretation comes and the prophetic, tongues interpretation is equal to prophecy. And so it goes forth that way. But when we see that happening, we should never think that, well, that's how it's going to happen to me. That's how it's going to come forth in me. It may not at all. It may be something totally, totally different. It may be two words that someone else needs to hear that is very prophetic. And they're words from God. But the point I'm trying to make here is that we have to make ourselves available. The church has to make themselves available to God and pray. Start out by faith. And again, it may be by beginning to pray for someone else. Just speaking life into them through your prayer. And God can begin to use you to speak prophetic words over them. There are some that will function under a stronger anointing. It might come with more authority, or it might come when just it's seeming like in everyday language. And in the midst of all that, we must consider who we're speaking to. We must consider about how they're able to receive whatever we're saying. We must say it in language that they will be able to grasp, or else it just falls out there and nobody pays any attention to it. But you know, you can speak prophetically into somebody's life without even saying anything. That may sound contradictory, but you can be a prophetic voice in your surroundings that you're in. You can demonstrate the life and peace of God in your surroundings just by being yourself, if you've taken time to meditate on the things of God. I remember years ago, there were some people who had come into our home for the first time. We were sitting there around the table talking about the things of the Lord, and they looked around a little bit, and they said, man, there's peace in this place. It's wonderful, the peace of God that's in this place. Well, I know that's a supernatural peace that comes from heaven, and that God will, if we'll honor him in our homes, he'll come in and fill it. And that is is supernatural, that can be prophetic in nature because it's done with the Spirit of Christ in mind. Prophetic words, or one who prophesies, let me put it that way, is one who is moved by the Spirit of God and used to solemnly declare to men what he has received by inspiration. In other words, somebody speaks to somebody else what they have received by inspiration. God has given them a download of what they need to share with somebody else. And again, this is something that comes from the spirit realm. This gift functions in assemblies of Christians when they are moved by the Spirit to speak, instruct, comfort, encourage, convict, and stimulate their hearers. And that's what prophecy can do. It can stimulate the hearers. Mark mentioned something when they were giving out all kinds of tracts at the festival in Cavendish a few weeks ago, and he said that people were being confronted with the gospel as they were given tracts. Well, that's what a prophetic word can do. It can confront people, because if you speak something into the life of an individual and they really believe that this has come from another world, has come from God, then that is a confrontation that takes place, because they have to decide, what are they going to do with this word? What are they going to do with what has just been spoken? Because God has just released something into their lives which gives them an opportunity to deal with something. You know, sometimes you can get to the place as Christians where you want to live for God, but it just seems that you're having trouble. You want to do what's right, but it seems like you find yourself doing wrong. Well, sometimes there's a stronghold in their lives that need to be dealt with, and we don't know what it is. I think even we can desire to do good, but still don't know what the stronghold is in our lives that's holding us back. Well, this is where ministry prayer can come in. This is where words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophetic words can come in, where people can, get praying for an individual and asking God, what is it, Lord? And in this particular case, this young man was being prayed for, and, you know, he forgave everybody. He felt he knew how to forgive. All of a sudden, one of the people who were praying for him had a vision. And in that vision, they seen a young man being chased by a man with a pitchfork. The man said to the guy they were ministering to, he said, I don't know if this means anything to you, but this is the picture I've just had. And they told him that. And the man broke down and began to weep, and he said, that was my father, who was a very terrible father, obviously. And he said, I thought I'd forgiven him, but obviously there's still some things in there that's really deep within me, that wounds that need to be healed. And they prayed into that situation. And they helped them, and they brought encouragement to him so that he could be set free from that past. Well, that word came supernaturally by God into a natural realm to be able to help an individual that was stuck. And sometimes you and I can get stuck in our Christian walk. It seems like we want to go further, but it just seems like we're stuck. Well, a prophetic word can come and bring us into a place where of greater freedom. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in Paul speaking about the gifts of the Spirit, says, but it is, verse 11 says, but it is one and the same Spirit that works all these things. Now, he just got done. If we were to read all the chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we would find that he's talking about all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he says that these work all together, distributing to each one individually as he wills, or as the Holy Spirit wills. You see, sometimes, even though we get a word sometimes from the Lord, we have to ask the Holy Spirit, okay, should I share it with them, or is it something that I just need to pray about? Because sometimes God will reveal to us things that he doesn't necessarily want us to speak forth. Or he might tell us something. For instance, if you're ministering in a public situation, there may be some things that would bring embarrassment to an individual if you brought it forth. And so it would be kinder to take them aside and speak to them alone and say, you know, when I was ministering a while ago, it just seemed like the Lord spoke this to me about your situation. I believe God spoke to me about it. I want to give it to you. It's up to you what you do with it. Do you feel it's relevant for you? If it's not, that's okay. Just forget about it then, because I can miss it. And see, that's one thing that we have to learn when it comes to gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially gifts of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and prophecy. Tongues interpretation, of course, would be included in that. That if we're speaking to someone, we give them a word from the Lord that we believe is from God. If they receive it, you know, that's usually wonderful. If they receive it, it's encouraging to them. But if they say, well, you know, I don't think that's from God at all. I don't think that's right. Then we have to be humble enough to say, well, sorry, I must have missed it. I must have missed it. I'm just learning in this thing. Or just flat out tell them. And that's easy. We can just say that we missed it. Now, I'm convinced that will put us in a good place to receive more words from the Lord. Because I really find it annoying when people say things to you that supposedly prophesying over you and you don't feel it hits the home at all, and you tell them that and they just say, oh, well, you must just not see it because it must be God, because I believe this was God. Now, I don't think that's the way to act at all when it comes to moving of the Spirit. I believe that we have to respect their ability to discern as well. Because if I'm forcing a word on you, I'm actually dominating you and acting in witchcraft, trying to control you. We have to have the door open for that to happen, because you know what? Even in our prophetic words, even in our prophesying, even if the prophecy is directly from heaven, it's still going through an imperfect vessel. And we could miss it. Because sometimes God speaks to us, he might speak to us a prophetic word through an image. And it is possible for us to misinterpret that image. We're imperfect. The gifts are perfect, but they're worked through an imperfect vessel. And so we have to be in that place where we're always willing to admit, yeah, we could miss it. And we have missed it. You know, one of the things that I am thirsty to see the power of God move. I'm thirsty to see the Holy Spirit move in our lives supernaturally. I'm so desire to see people recognize the supernatural. And so I don't want to hold back. But sometimes I have held back. I've hesitated. And I've actually left the service and get severely rebuked by God because I've held back. Because I wouldn't prophesy the word of the Lord at the time. Because I was using my own natural mind to justify where I was. And I was rebuked by God, and I just asked him to forgive me. Because it's not a good place to be when you get rebuked for not obeying God that way. Now, in prayer is one of the best ways to learn to prophesy. To be activated in the gift of prophesying. By just praying. And you can take a book like this, Prayers That Avail Much, and you can read them. And you can read them and begin praying about things. You can read those prayers and allow them to go through you. And you can read them. And sometimes you find that, okay, I want to pray longer than what that particular prayer is. And you begin praying out things that you've never thought about. That is the gift of prophecy working through you in the area of prayer. You may be praying about lots of times throughout the years. I've prayed for my kids lots of times and just beginning, Lord, just beginning, not knowing what to pray about, not knowing what's going on in their life, but just beginning, say, Lord, I thank you for that my children are blessed. I thank you that my children honor their parents. Things go well with them. They have a long life. They are blessed in everything they do. They are prosperous people. I start out like that and begin praying about specific things concerning them that I never thought about at all. It's the prophetic word that begins to come through. But we have to start out. And faith means that you start out sometimes in what we refer to as in the natural. We begin doing it in the natural. Now, there's some things that if we will trust God in, deny ourselves, be willing to be a martyr, God will use us, and we might start off very small. We'll begin to learn to grow in it. But there's other times that there might be situations where it just seems that God sovereignly moves and starts something happening. But that doesn't mean that he's going to start sovereignly moving upon you every time. A good example is this, I think. I remember years ago, we were praying for some people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And seeing my sister being prayed for, we were praying that people would be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues so that they would begin speaking in other tongues. She was in the prayer line and people were lined up and she fell down in the Spirit and I could physically see her stomach move and her throat move and it just seemed like it just bubbled up and she just started praying in tongues and it was just like a gusher. It was just like, you know, it was almost like it was nothing on her part other than just yielding. It was just like a gusher. And she began praying in tongues. It just seemed like a sovereign move of God. Now, you know what? She still prays in tongues today, but it's not a sovereign move of God. She, by faith, prays out. She doesn't wait for that sovereign move. She, by faith, now knows how it works, and she just yields and begins to pray whenever she desires to in other tongues. So sovereign moves of God can give us an example of the way things work. But after that, God expects us to step out in faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so God doesn't want to get us into a place where we're acting out in ways that are not pleasing him. So it's easy to do things when there's a sovereign move of God. What I mean by sovereign move of God, I believe that, you know, there's things that happen that are very powerful in revivals that are very sovereign. It just seems that God does something. But I believe that these times are meant to be duplicated over and over and over again by the body of Christ if we would just yield to him. Another time, I remember, again, the sovereign move of God. I had preached a couple of times years ago, back in the 80s. I had preached a couple of times, but I was hungry for God. And I went to I was going to preach at this church. I decided to fast. You know, I hear about these people who fast. They start fasting, and after 3 days, they get a lot of energy. Well, I can start fasting in the morning, and by night, my energy goes down, and I've never fasted long enough for it to come back up again, if it was ever. I went 4, 5, 6 days before, but it just never come back. And by the end of 4 or 5 days, I have to hang onto a chair to stand up kind of thing. It's just, that's the way it works with me. With Debbie, she can go on a 10-day, 2-week fast. After that third day, man, I think the stuff that she's doing and the energy she's got, it's just, so I get her to do fasting for me. Anyway, this particular time, I fasted, and the minister introduced me, and I was stirred up in my spirit. And when I get up to speak, it seemed like I took a step, and it seemed like I stepped into another realm. I began to preach, and I don't know if I ever looked at my notes at all, because I had prayed and had fasted about this meeting, and I was really hungry. It was like I was standing watching myself preach. It was a supernatural experience. It really was. And it was a great night, wonderful things. But as great as that was, when I got up to speak the next time, I had to realize it wasn't going to happen that way. You had to begin to, you know, trust God by faith that you were going to be able to speak forth some things that needed to be said. God won't put us in a place where every single time we get up and there's a supernatural, awesome, sovereign move that it doesn't take any faith. God is a faith God, and he wants you and I to be faith people who will operate in faith. And he wants us to use that faith every day, every minute in our lives. When we come to a church service, a gathering, we should stir ourselves up believing that we are going to get something tonight. We are going to receive something and we're going to give something. We are going to allow God to speak to us so that we'll be different when we go out than when we came in. We'll be better equipped to be able to advance the kingdom when we go out than when we came in. We need to exercise our faith in that way, believing that he will bring something to pass in our lives, and that tomorrow will be better than it is today. Now, the word of prophecy, when we speak the word of prophecy, it's a word of edification, exhortation. It's a word of comfort to people. That's why when God gives us something to be able to speak into a person's life, they can go away encouraged because they heard something from God that would encourage them. Let me just close with a couple of things. I'm not going to go on much further. Acts 2:17 says, "It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy." Now that's in the word. So we should see prophecy coming forward. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. We should see that coming forward on a regular basis. We are living in the last days, and God desires to see prophetic words come forth that is encouraging the body. And we're living in a day and age where the prophetic word is needed to bring encouragement. I want to give you one more example of a prophetic word, how this can absolutely encourage and confirm something. Rob Parker, who started the National House of Prayer in Ottawa, years ago, he was looking for a place. He felt God call him and Fran to do this. And we were wondering, it just seemed like a huge thing, because to get a place in Ottawa to do what they wanted to do was really difficult. Anyway, he was sitting in a meeting where Bobby Connor, Prophet Bobby Connor, was ministering in BC. Bobby Connor called out Rob to come up and went to prophesy over him. So he began to prophesy over him. And in the prophetic word, he said a number of things. He said, but then he said, "I see you standing in an archway, and I see China behind you." And so Rob leaves that, "China behind me. I don't want to go to China. I know nothing about China. I'm not really interested in China." It just didn't ring a bell with him at all. And so this went on. And so he continued to look for a place in Ottawa. One day we were at this place that they were looking at, a large convent is what it was. We went up to the second floor, and then he said, "Just a minute." And we went out in the balcony, and he said, "You stand there, and I'm going to stand over here." He stood over there, and he said, "What do you see?" I said, "Well, you're standing in an archway." And he said, "You can't see it back there because of the trees, and you don't know what it is, but that's the Chinese embassy right behind me." And Bobby Connor said, "I see you standing in an archway, and I see China behind you." That brought encouragement and confirmation that that was the place that God wanted Rob to have for the National House of Prayer. And that's where they're at today. So just an absolute wonderful facility for prayer for our nation, to facilitate prayer for our nation. I think it holds 30 people around can sleep there. And so he takes teams in, and they go in there from all across the nation, and they go to the government to pray for the government and so forth. You know, that building came by prophetic revelation. And that's what prophetic words can do. It can create an environment where faith is increased, because it's a word from the Lord. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we hear the words of the Lord and act in them, faith begins to rise within us. We begin to believe God for some things. When people come and they're in need, you know, it's the body that are meant to meet that need. It's the body that are meant to distribute the gifts of the Holy Spirit to others around us. Each one of us carry a supply of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we are a people who receive all the time, we receive from the Lord, we receive from the Word, we receive from ministry. If we are a people who are constantly receiving, if that's all we're doing, we become like the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is dead because it has nothing flowing out of it. The Jordan River flows into it, nothing flows out of it. And nothing can live there because it's dead. And you and I, as a body of Christ, if we are being ministered to, whether it's the word or even compassion ministry, or we're just enjoying the presence of the Lord, if we're never getting out, we'll actually become dead if we don't give out. Because what we have will begin to become stale and nobody wants stale food. Nobody wants. You know, the Bible calls healing the children's bread. Jesus referred to it when the woman was crying out to him who needed healing for her daughter that was demon-possessed, and she wasn't of the children of Israel. And Jesus said, you know, it's not right to take the children's bread. They were talking about healing, referring to healing. It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And if we just receive prayer all the time for healing, even if it's in our own body, if we need healing, if all we're ever doing is receiving prayer for healing and not giving it out, that prayer that we're getting for healing can become ineffective, become dead, because you're meant to be a flow through. You're meant to be a flow through. If you desire a prophetic word, begin to trust God and to prophesy. Begin to trust God to speak forth a word for someone else. Pray about it and begin to release it in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I thank you. The Lord says, if you'll move with me, I will move with you. And I will take you through that position that you find yourself in and are even stalled in. For I know the things that will cause you to go up to another level, to another step. And I will show you how to function in arenas that you know nothing of. Because stepping into another arena of my kingdom will open for you new doors. Different transitions will begin to take place as your eyes become open to new things. For I have much to show and deliver to the body that will help them move in strategic ways that will cause the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ to advance. There is much to experience, for much of my body has looked at these things and read over the supernatural events that are about to take place, and even written in my word. But know this, if you will step out, you'll find that I'll meet you there. And I'll begin to show you even things to come. I'll show you how to minister to individuals that you have been desiring to see make a change in their lives. For I'm the one that can cause change to take place. I'm the one that can bring hope into hopeless situations. For the hope that I have will transform who? Even communities will begin to see the glory of God if my people will rise up and begin to demonstrate the attributes of the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for causing us to be sensitive to the supernatural.